Hi there, New Life Church. Great to see you. Well, I can't see you actually, but hopefully you can see me, and hopefully that's not too appalling for you. But thanks so much for inviting me to come and share a little bit with you. And today I'm going to read to you a little bit from John's Gospel. I'm going to read from a very familiar story for those of you who know your Bible well. It's the story of the Samaritan woman at the well who Jesus meets on his journey. So, beginning at verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? The Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So the woman said, "You've got nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from himself, and did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will be a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go back and call your husband." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right. You've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they're the kinds of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit. His worshippers must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." One of the things that people have to discover about Jesus is, who is he? Who is Jesus? It's such a big question. It was a big question in his own lifetime. Who is he? Is he a prophet? Is he a teacher? Is he the Messiah? And it's a question that people face today. Who is Jesus? What do we make of Jesus? In the 21st century, do we see Jesus as just a kind of great moral teacher? Do we see him as a charlatan? Do we see him as a victim of political powers? Or do we see him as the Son of God coming to the world? One of the things that we wrestle with in Jesus, as we discover who Jesus is this idea that Jesus is fully human and fully God. And John's Gospel in particular kind of describes both the humanity of Jesus and also his divinity. It begins, doesn't it, with this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And yet it also talks about the Word becoming flesh, becoming incarnate, becoming human, and living among us. And John's Gospel also talks about the vulnerability of Jesus, the Jesus who says, "I can do nothing on my own. I can only do what I see the Father doing." And a Jesus who's familiar with hunger and thirst. And so this passage begins with Jesus, tired and thirsty, very, very human. So John's Gospel is going to be revealing Jesus to us in all the complex both ends of fully God and fully man. And for Jesus, one of the things that I love is that Jesus builds bridges with human beings all the time. And I think it's such a lesson for us as religious people, perhaps as zealous people, perhaps as evangelical charismatics, or whatever labels we put on ourselves, often we take our identity from our theology, from what we believe. And when we're talking to other human beings, it's often the theology that comes up first. I don't know whether you've ever had an experience like this, but of ever being evangelized by somebody where their theology is far more important to them and what they want to get across to you than a bridge of human relationships and empathy. One of my experiences being evangelized like this was one Christmas morning when there was a knock on the front door, and when I came to answer it, it was a Jehovah's Witness. And Jehovah's Witnesses do not celebrate Christmas. And in fact, they think they were quite wrong and deluded to do. But there he was on Christmas morning, knocking a door. Why? Was he expecting that I was going to interrupt my Christmas meal and sit down and have a conversation with him and come around to his point of view? Or was it that this was an occasion to demonstrate some theology, whatever the inconvenience of the person? And I'm not trying to knock Jehovah's Witnesses per se. I'm sure there's some very good and lovely, compassionate people, and I've had some great Jehovah's Witness friends. However, I think this was an absolute case of theology before humanity. And I've also been in the position myself where I've done a lot of cold evangelism, knocked on people's doors, done open air outreaches, and I've always felt a little bit uncomfortable where I'm trying to get a message across to perhaps a busy person, maybe a mildly curious person, when I don't really know them, where the theology comes before the humanity. Now, I actually think that sharing the good news of Jesus is absolutely key to all that we're about. But I think how we do it as zealous, passionate believers can sometimes miss the way that Jesus did it. And sometimes, for us, our kind of religiosity and our protocols can get in the way of a bridge of human empathy. What I love about this story is that the interchange begins with Jesus making himself vulnerable to somebody who is outside, who is not someone who's an Orthodox Jew. In fact, someone who's a very on the edge kind of person. But he makes himself vulnerable to her and says, "Will you give me something to drink?" It's so interesting when we make ourselves vulnerable to somebody who's not yet part of our inner circle, and perhaps someone who's right on the outside. I had the experience of becoming a bit vulnerable to someone who was an outsider last year. I befriended somebody who was introduced to our church, who was homeless at the time and an alcoholic, but wanted to do some work, wanted to, you know, just be active. And actually, he's a lovely guy, and I took him with me to do some work on a property, and that my daughter just moved into. And we ended up having to drill through the kind of concrete foundation of a house in order to lay a water pipe to get non-lead piping into the house. And this guy worked so hard. He put hours in. He was lying on his back with a heavy kind of hammer drill and breaking through concrete. And I was vulnerable to him, actually, because he was better at it than I was. He was stronger. He was more experienced. And actually, he was in charge. And but out of that, my vulnerability to him meant that our relationship became more of an equal relationship rather than I'm a church leader helping out a guy in trouble. And on the back of that, we became friends, and he ate at my home and started attending church. And I remember going to the New Wine Leaders Conference with him sat right next to me on the front row, you know, and that's great. Bridge of humanity allowed a sharing of deeper things. In this particular story, it's the woman who brings in the theology. You'll note there's an interchange that happens, and Jesus, who isn't, you know, over quick to kind of share who he is with her, responds to her curiosity, who Jesus is, and the way he relates to her. Well, he relates to her as a human being. He sees her as a human being. He breaks all the protocols by talking to her and interacting with her. And so she's really curious. She says, "Why are you doing this, in fact? What's a Jew like you doing talking to someone like me. And then he just gives this kind of like intriguing answer about living water, and it begins a conversation. And then, of course, he drops a little bit of supernatural insight into her life. You know, I know you haven't got a husband at the moment. You've had 5 men in marriages, and the person you're with now is not your husband. And so she's straight up, oh, gosh, I'm hanging around with this guy. But there's something different there. There's something supernatural about his life, about what he knows. About is he connected somehow to God? I perceive you're a prophet. You know, I think if we hang around with people long enough and we really know God, that will bleed through into our relationships. They'll perceive that we've got something. And you know, I don't know how often that's happened to you, where someone has said, I want what you've got. I was listening to a woman in my staff team talking about her husband. They're just a young couple, and all his friends are lads, you know, and they're not part of a Christian culture, but how over lockdown they've been communicating and sharing, and this guy saying, I want what you've got. I see something in you two that I haven't got. That's what happens when we hang around, we've got relationships. We don't have to download it all at once. But of course, she brings theology and she starts to talk about what she believes. This is the right way to worship God, I think. You think differently, don't you? And it's her that gets the theology. And again, if we hang around with people long enough, people are going to talk about what they believe and what they think we believe. And Jesus can say to her, actually, woman, you believe this. This is how Jewish people worship, that there's something bigger than that out there. There's a Father who is seeking you and is looking for those who seek him. And ultimately, actually, he reveals who he is to her. It's almost unique for Jesus to say, I am the Messiah. She says, there's going to be a Messiah coming one day. I am he. That's a really unique element in the Gospels of Jesus' self-revelation. But this isn't just a one-off from Jesus. He's always putting humanity before theology. In Luke's Gospel, 3 times, he's in a synagogue, in a place of worship on a Sabbath day, and there's someone there who's sick. And it's like the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the scribes, they actually believe Jesus can heal. And they kind of think, well, and if he heals, he's going to be really theologically off the ball. I don't know what they were thinking, actually. You know, someone does a miracle and you think they're theologically dodgy. But Jesus is deeply distressed by their hardness of heart. And he says to them, look, isn't it, what's the Sabbath about? The Sabbath is for man, not man for the Sabbath. Humanity comes before religion here, because to be truly human is to be made in the image of God. And if someone's in need on the Sabbath day, surely we should meet that need. Jesus tells a parable in Luke's Gospel again, in Luke chapter 10. He tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And in that story, as you probably know, a kind of Jewish guy is beaten up by robbers, and 2 Jewish priests, priestly types, a priest and a Levite, people who have got religious duties to perform, people who don't want to get ceremonially unclean, neglect to care for the beaten up man. Their religion trumps their compassion, and they pass by on the other side. But there's another guy, a stranger, an outsider, somebody who, well, he's a Samaritan, like the Samaritan in this story. And he comes across and helps the guy who's been wounded, beaten up, sacrificially, places him on his donkey, takes him to an inn, looks after him, pays for his care. He puts humanity above his national identity or his religious identity. And Jesus uses him as an example of somebody who really understands what it means to be a neighbour, a good neighbour. Loving God, loving your neighbour, the answer for the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And love your neighbour as yourself. And that loving your neighbour as yourself implies I see in my neighbour a human being who's just like me. One of the big challenges of the world is that we dehumanise people who are not like us, people far away, people with a different belief, people with a different skin culture, people with a different education or socioeconomic background. Surely they're not quite like me. Maybe they're not as entitled as I am. Maybe they can't suffer as much as I am. Maybe they don't need as much in their standard of living as I do. and we slightly dehumanize them. For us who love God, we also need to love our neighbor and see them as people made in the image of God, made to be known by God and to know him, made to be loved. And we need to reach out to people with a strong bridge of humanity and empathy, not neglecting the faith that we've got, but carrying that as a gift that will be given to them at the right time. So as I come into land, just thinking about, first of all, this COVID time that we live in, where there's so much anxiety and need amongst so many people. Can we build bridges of humanity around our communities where we recognize and understand what people are going through, whether they believe that they're very vulnerable because of COVID, or whether they're non-believers. It's just a conspiracy. We understand why people are anxious. We understand why people are frustrated. Let's build a relationship with them and try and stand with them at this time. As we go into Christmas, as we want to celebrate the good news of Jesus coming to the world as a baby, can we make this an opportunity somehow to share with our communities that we're there for them, we're standing with them, and build bridges of connection with our friends and neighbours. And as we do life together, and particularly as we use this coming season to celebrate King Jesus, let's hope that across that bridge of humanity, there'll be those questions that say, tell me more. I want to have what you've got. Gosh, you brought that revelation to me. How did you know that? I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has made men and women in his image. And you've called us as your church to seek and save the lost as Jesus did himself. And that means coming alongside people. We thank you, Jesus, for the way that you came alongside people who didn't know you, who you parted with them, you ate and drank with them, you built the bridges of humanity. Lord, forgive us where in our zeal we hit people with theology before they're ready for a relationship. Help us to learn how to love people as you love us. And as we love people, Lord God, may that love create a pathway for your good news to translate into their lives and circumstances. Teach us how to do that as individuals and as churches. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.